If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Genesis chapter 18 and verses 16 to 21. As we continue in our series, Contending for the Faith, Genesis chapter 18, starting in verse 16. When the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him, so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sins so grievous, that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that as we spend time here today, you would just impress on us more than ever before how important, how critical our families are. How much our families are under attack today, and how much we need to be crying out to you to protect them, and how much we need to be standing up and fighting for them. Pray to come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray to open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Even if you're not a texter, you still recognize all kinds of different emojis today that mean all different kinds of things. Some of them are kind of obvious, like thank you. And hands clapping for applause. And brokenhearted. And the see no evil monkey. And then some of them are more specific, like the puke emoji. You see something that you think is making you sick. Or the Kimoji from Kim Kardashian if you see somebody you think is acting like a diva. But a couple of months ago, that one came out of the Apple factory. Next slide. The pregnant man emoji. You say, "But Kevin, men can't." I know. I know. Welcome to the new normal. And sadly enough, just one more sign of the constant, never-ending attack from every single side against the family as God defined it and created it in His Word. You attack the faith by attacking the family. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us what we need to do about it. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called Contending for the Faith, looking at all kinds of things that we need to do to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And today we see that in order to contend for the faith, we also need to contend for our own families. And to see that, we turn this morning to Genesis chapter 18 and verses 16 to 21. In Genesis chapter 18, God Almighty Himself and two of His angels come down from heaven and visit Abraham at his tent in Hebron. And they tell Abraham that him and his wife Sarah is going to have a baby and that they're going to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And in our text today, God tells Abraham that his family is going to be safe and protected, but he still needs to fight for it. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, if our families are going to be saved and protected, we need to fight for them too. Our text this morning, Genesis chapter 18, verses 16 to 21, tells us three things that we need to do to contend for our families like God wants us to. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do to contend for our families, we need to realize that they are under attack. And that is exactly what God is telling Abraham here in verses 16 to 18. Now, one day when Abraham's 100 years old and taking a siesta in his tent, all of a sudden, God and two of His holy ones just show up, just like that. Gee, guess who's coming to dinner? And then after they have some angel food cake, verse 16, they look down toward the city of Sodom because they're going to wipe it off the face of the earth. So on top of Abraham's family being constantly attacked by pagans in the land of Canaan, Abraham's nephew Lot and his family, Abraham's kinfolk, are in danger because they are living in the city of Sodom. So Abraham's family was definitely under attack in the world back then. And the problem is, our families are under attack right now in the world we're in today. Amen. Folks, contrary to popular opinion, James Dobson did not create the family to discriminate against gay people. Family was God's idea, so people wouldn't have to grow up in herds like free-range beef. A male husband and a female wife with children if God gives the blessing. That's the family. Amen. And God determined that in that kind of a family, the sexual desires of husbands and wives would be satisfied by each other and not Pornhub. Crumb crunchers would be produced and would be trained up to be husbands and wives themselves someday. And most importantly, faith in the Lord would be passed on to the next generation. Psalm chapter 78, verse 4. That kind of family has been the basic building block of every civilization that has ever existed anywhere in the world throughout the history of the world. People, God created the family even before He created government and the church. So you destroy the family, you destroy civilization itself. Gee, do you think maybe, just maybe, the family as God designed it is something important? Now, verse 18, God reminds Abraham that his family, his descendants, the Jewish people, were going to become a great nation and would be blessings to the whole wide world because they would bring about the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Savior. And because we Christians are the seed, the spiritual descendants of Abraham, God wants us to make our families blessings to the whole wide world by making our family members disciples of Jesus Christ so they can spread the gospel to the whole wide world. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Do you understand how critical the family and your family is to God's eternal plan? And I know somebody's hearing this sermon right now saying, but Kevin, my people are so messed up. If you shook my family tree, a bunch of nuts would fall out. I don't care. I don't care if your family is Bonnie and Clyde. You break the cycle. The dysfunction stops with you. I don't care how messed up your family is today. You make a decision for Jesus Christ, you can turn your entire family in a brand new good direction for generations until Jesus comes back. And the only one telling you that you can't do that is the devil himself. You contend for your family. And of course, because the family is so important, the devil and the world today are doing everything they can to trash it. And we see it on every side. Black Lives Matter is not only Marxist, it's pro-gay and anti-family to the core. And yet, what was the first week in February in our public schools? Black Lives Matter Appreciation Week. See the kids marching? Over the last 40 years, you and I have seen a massive PR campaign to brainwash kids and destroy in their minds a biblical understanding of what a family is. And it continues to this day. Today, children can buy Queer Eye for the Straight Guy Lego sets and Strawberry Bop cereal from JoJo Siwa, the pop singer who came out as a lesbian last year. Actor Tommy Dorfman from 13 Reasons now claims he's a girl. Little kids are still going to drag queen story hour. Rapper Lil Nas says it's not only cool to be satanic, it's also cool to be gay. People, there's even transgender Oreo cookies out there right now. And why? Gay activist Kai Feldblum said this, "We have to change the minds of children. Change in their minds what a family really is. That's the key, because he who owns the children owns the future." Bingo. No wonder Joe Biden wants mandatory daycare for all children in America starting at age 3, because you can't brainwash them soon enough. Today there's more cockeyed definitions of family relationships than a dog has fleas. Here's just a few. Polyamory, the love of many without any marriage necessary at all. Thruples, three people in a marriage-like relationship, not just two. Instead of adultery now, it's called consensual non-monogamy. No, honey, I wasn't cheating. I was just committing consensual non-monogamy. Tell that to your wife and see how it flies. Incest is now being called intergenerational intimacy. People, it's sick. I don't care how much lipstick you put on a pig, it's still a pig. God help us, people, what this country has done to the family. And see how they operate? Last January the 5th, Wendell and Maria Perez got called to their daughter's school, Patterson Elementary School, Fleming Island, Florida, because their 12-year-old daughter, Justine, had attempted suicide by hanging herself in the girls' bathroom. And come to find out, it wasn't the first time she tried to off herself on school property. And you know why? Because for the previous 3 months, their daughter had been meeting with a school guidance counselor named Destiny Washington, who convinced Justine that she was really a boy and created a whole new identity for her at that school by getting all the teachers and all the other students to treat her like a boy. And she told Justine the only reason she felt guilty about it is because of the stupid Christian faith that her parents were raising her in. And the parents had never heard one single word about any of this. Not even the previous suicide attempt. You say, Kevin, that's crazy. That girl was their daughter. But see, you don't get it. The left thinks you Christian parents are so stupid and so racist and so bigoted and so homophobic, your kids really belong to the state. So they will do everything they possibly can to go behind your back and brainwash your kids in woke leftist claptrap that is killing children. It's killing them. Because the left hates God and they hate family and they hate you even more than Canadian truck drivers. Warning, 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 families under attack. And Christians, what's the best thing we need to do to protect them? You cry out to the Lord. 17-year-old, 72-year-old Ernestine Reese is a born-again Christian from Beauregard, Alabama, and the matriarch of a big old family there in Lee County. And even though her husband died several years ago, all of her kids are saved, all of her grandkids are saved, and she's working on getting all of her great-grandchildren saved too. And because she witnesses to every single person she comes in contact with, everybody in that counter knows her as Mama Reese. And because she's such a huge prayer warrior, she had a prayer closet built into her house with a chair in it, all of her stuff for Bible studies, even the hats and the dresses that she wears to church on Sunday morning. And Mama Reese spent 2 hours a day in that prayer closet praying down the power of God. Well, 2 years ago, this coming March the 3rd, dozens of tornadoes raked across the southeastern United States. And one of them, an E4 tornado with winds over 170 miles an hour, slammed into Beauregard, Alabama, destroyed dozens of homes and businesses, and killed 23 people. One of the worst tornadoes to ever hit that state. Well, Mama Reese was home that day, and her daughter and son-in-law and grandson were visiting her. And when they heard the tornado siren go off, Mama didn't take them into the bathroom, which is supposedly the safest place in the house to go during a tornado. She took them into the prayer closet and closed the door. And when they heard the sound of the train, Mama stood up. She just started praying. God save my family. God save my family. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He is my refuge and my fortress and God in whom I trust. And then the wind started roaring, the whole house started shaking, and Mama just kept praying. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. God, save my family, save my family. About that time, the roof of that house got tore off and the whole house exploded. And right when it looked like all four of those people were going to get sucked up in that funnel cloud, the daughter said all of a sudden it was like a giant invisible human hand pressing down on them and keeping them from being blown away. As Mama was praying, save my family, save my family. And then just like that, the tornado was over and the storm had passed. And when they all crawled out of the rubble, they absolutely could not believe what they saw. Every single house up and down that entire street had been completely destroyed. And all the debris had been completely swept away off the foundation. So nothing was left standing. Except at Mama Reese's house, because there was something left standing there. And you know what it was? The only thing left standing of that house, of any house on that entire street, was that prayer closet where those four family members hunkered down and got saved by God. Folks, the old ladies' hats and dresses were even still in the closet hanging on the hangers and hadn't even moved an inch. God is my refuge and my fortress. You ain't just kidding. And every single one of Ernestine Reese's neighbors on that street died in that storm. All 23 of them. The only four survivors were Mama, her daughter, her son-in-law, and her grandson who hid in that prayer closet. This is what Mama Reese said to a friend on the phone just minutes after they dragged her out of the debris and put blankets on her to keep her warm.
I thank the Lord. You tell God, thank you, King King. You hear me, boy?
Yeah, watch the lines.
You hear me? Tell God, thank you. Tell God, thank you. Hey, no glad in
another,
but the power gone.
Woo! The trailer completely gone.
Where the Lord is at? Oh, yeah. The Lord's house gone too.
Christians, listen to me. Your families today are under attack on every side. And the storm is a-raging, and the wind is a-howling, trying to sweep them away. And the best thing you can possibly do, get your family in the shelter of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty, and start crying out to God, because there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that God through prayer cannot do to save your family from the attack. The first thing that you need to do in order to contend for your family, you need to realize they're under attack. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to contend for our families. You not only need to realize they're under attack, but second, you need to lead them in the fight. And that's exactly what God is telling Abraham here in verse 19. Now, God could have just as easily texted or private messaged Abraham from up in heaven. But instead, God comes all the way down to earth, takes on human form, so He can speak to Abraham face to face. And why is that? Because the Hebrew here literally means God and Abraham were BFF. And because of that, Abraham would lead his family, lead his children in the ways of the Lord. Which means Abraham didn't just drop his kids off for Sunday school in Awana. He didn't just like the Bible verses his children posted on Instagram. He actually took the time to teach and train up his children to follow the Lord. Parents, how many of y'all realize you cannot lead your family until you, first of all, let the Lord lead you? Hello? Parents, are you a friend of God? Moms and dads, don't you dare be bellyaching about no prayer in school if you won't even pray over your own kids every single morning before they go to school. I think I'm preaching now. Parents, let me ask you this morning. Are you leading your kids in the ways of the Lord? Because don't be like all the stupid parents in the world today. Actor Will Smith said this, "My number one thing with my kids, I want to be my kids' friend. That's what they need from me the most." Yeah, and that's why Will Smith's 24-year-old son Jaden wears dresses. Parents, God has not called you to be your child's friend. Friendly, but not their friend. Because your kids already have plenty of friends. What they need are parents. Who am I looking for? This guy right here. See him? This is a dad. Which means he's a superhero. And you know what his superpower is? Gatekeeper. Which means he decides what gets into the house and what doesn't get into the house. And you can tell by looking at him, he couldn't care less if anybody interprets his actions as toxic masculinity. So all the pot, all the Molly, all the vapes, all the porn apps, all the Megan Thee Stallion songs, all the jail baits and the boy toys and the slackers with ankle monitors through the door or out the window. And I know somebody's thinking, well, Kevin, I don't want my kids growing up to fear the Lord. Well, why not? Because if your kids really fear God, they'll never be afraid of anything else. Parents, lead your kids. Don't let your kids lead you. Like that kid is leading her. Last month on an episode of Special Victims Unit, Detective Benson's 8-year-old son Noah said this to her.
No big deal. It's not like I have a boyfriend or girlfriend. It's just not fair for anybody to be left out.
I hear that.
I'm really proud of you.
Okay. Anyway, could we go eat now?
She told his mom he was bi. He's 8 years old. The kid doesn't have a clue what bi means. Bicycle, maybe, but not bisexual. And did you hear what mom said? I'm really proud of you. So parents only exist to affirm the silly things that prepubescent kids say that they want. People, that's nothing but cycle bi. That's the stupidest thing I've heard all day, and I got up early. The picture you see on the screen is Joe Burrow of the Cincinnati Bengals and his dad, Jim. When little Joe was 6 years old, his dad, Jim, put a tire swing up in the backyard and taught little Joe how to throw a ball through the tire swing. Then when little Joe was 7 years old, dad started having him throw a football through the tire from different distances away and different angles. Then when little Joe was 8 years old, dad started swinging the tire back and forth. And taught little Joe how to throw that football through the tire while it was moving from different distances and angles, like he was leading a wide receiver. Then 2 years ago, Joe Burrow won the Heisman Trophy, won a national championship at LSU, and was the number one pick in the NFL draft. And today, Joe Burrow is a starting quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals in Super Bowl 56. Christian parents, spiritually, exactly the same thing. You train your kids step by step by step by step to follow the Lord, and eventually they'll be playing in the big time too, winning other people to Christ. Parents, lead your kids. And young people, you know what? That means if your parents are supposed to do the leading, you young people are supposed to do the following. Young people, the Bible says your parents represent God to you. And by obeying your parents, you are obeying the Lord. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32. And if you disobey your parents and your parents are too gutless to punish you, God says in the Bible, He will do it Himself, personally. Amen. That's how much obedience matters. There's blessings for it if you do it. There's curses if you don't. And there's young people sitting in this church right now. Listen to this sermon. Your life is going in a very, very bad direction. Because instead of listening to your parents, you are listening to your friends who are telling you to do all kinds of stupid things. Like how to stick two fingers down your throat and puke up everything you eat. And how to cut yourself places on your body where mom won't notice. How to take just enough sleeping pills to make your parents think you're killing yourself. They can still rush you to the hospital and pump your stomach and save your life. How to create a fake profile on a phone to hide your porn stash. How to eat things like peanut butter to cover up the smell of alcohol on your breath after you've been drinking with your friends. Young people, listen to me. You step out from under the protection of the authority of your parents and you disobey them, the devil is going to be all over you like ugly on ape. And there's young people sitting in this church right now. Your parents don't know what's going on, but God does, and it's got to stop. It's got to stop today. Otherwise, you're going to be in a world of hurt. Amen. Obey your parents. Honor your father and mother, because you have no idea what your parents went through to have you and to raise you up. Most moms never lose the weight that they gained when they were pregnant with you and carrying you, ever. They have it for the rest of their lives. Because of you, your parents had to watch Frozen so many times they got frostbite. And if they hear Baby Shark one more time, they're going to toss their cookies. And when you get a phone, they're going to steal it and take 238 pictures of their left foot and see how they like it. I've got young people asking me all the time, Pastor, how come my parents are so boring? That's easy. They got that way taking care of you. Kevin, how come my parents are tired all the time? They got that way taking care of you. How come my parents never have any money? They got that way taking care of you. Young people, if you had to pay your mom for all the services that she does for you, every individual thing that she does for you, if you had to pay at going rate, all the cooking and the cleaning and the washing and the sewing, and the tutoring and the chauffeuring back and forth. Do you know how much you would owe your mother at the end of 18 years? $861,733. Young people, do you want that in check or cash? And you know what, young people? If you never thanked your mom for one single thing she ever did to you, when you're 25 years old, she will still be reaching out to take a hold of your hand when you cross the street together. Because you have no idea, how much your parents really care about you. Amen. That little girl does. 11-year-old Lainey Perdue was growing up with her younger sister and two little brothers and her mom, Mike and Christy Perdue, in Gaylord, Michigan. Wonderful, wonderful Christian family. But last November the 13th, about 1:30 p.m., Mike Perdue took little Lainey on a trip, a 20-minute flight, to their vacation home on Beaver Island in Lake Michigan for some daddy-daughter time together before the holidays started. Also on that flight was a couple who lived on Beaver Island, too. But then 1:47 p.m., just 17 minutes later, for some unknown reason, that twin-engine commuter plane crashed while landing at the airport on Beaver Island and killed everybody on board, except 11-year-old Lainey. And you know why that little girl survived? Because when everybody on the flight found out that crash was coming, Mike Perdue grabbed that little girl and wrapped his arms and his entire body around her in the tightest bear hug in the history of the world and took all the impact and all the forces and all the blows of that crash so that little girl wouldn't have to. EMT said when they pulled the bodies out of the wreckage, they thought they were going to have to cut Mike Perdue's arms off. Because even in death, he was still holding on so tight to that little girl. It took four grown men to pull his arms off of her. Lainey Perdue said this, "The last thing I remember is my dad giving me the tightest hug ever and the look on his face like he was bracing everything he had. The only reason I'm alive is because of him, and I'll never forget that he loved me so much he sacrificed his life in order to save mine." Young people, you have no idea, no idea how much your parents really, really love you. And parents, if you do love your kids, you will lead them in the fight. Starting in March of 2020, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker issued 43 consecutive executive orders that basically kept face diapers on Illinois school kids for the last 2 years, trashing their education and their mental and emotional and spiritual development to who wouldn't have it. Until late last year, when an attorney named Thomas DeVore filed a lawsuit on behalf of 146 school districts in Illinois to have that mask mandate overturned. And what do you know? Praise God, from whom all blessings flow, last Friday, February the 4th, a Sangamon County judge ruled that J.B. Pritzker had been acting too big for his britches, like we knew all along. Because the judge said, according to the law, J.B. Pritzker does not have the right to put a mask on any child in any school anywhere in Illinois, even during a pandemic. Amen. Because according to the law, only a judge can do that. After a child has been given due process in court and the Illinois Department of Public Health has proven that that child is a legitimate health risk. So J.B. Pritzker does not have the right to put a mask on anybody to order that done, and there is no state agency anywhere in Illinois that has the ability to enforce that. So the judge blasted the governor for committing what she said was exactly the kind of evil the law was supposed to prevent. Touche! And what that means is Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker's statewide mask mandate is null and void for every student in every school district in Illinois. Even for the ones who weren't party to the original lawsuit. And it also means now every school district, with input from parents and administrators, can make their own policy when it comes to masks. Amen. School districts can go mask-free. They can go mask-optional. They can make kids wear 2 masks. They can make kids wear 50 masks with plastic shields and Mission Man outfits, if that's what they decide. Because it's not the governor's decision anymore. Now, last Wednesday, Governor Pritzker scaled back other mask mandates in the state, too, just like other leftist dictator governors are doing in blue states all over America, like New York, Connecticut, Delaware, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, California. I could go on and on. And the COVIDians say, well, it's because the science and the data has changed, which is an absolute joke because the science and the data hasn't changed since day one, the start of this pandemic in March 2020. COVID virus particles are 1 to 5 microns wide. The holes in a cloth mask are 20 to 100 microns wide. That's been true from the very start. The CDC now admits that cloth masks are worthless in stopping COVID. Illinois is the only state in the Midwest with a mask mandate, and yet Illinois still has a far higher COVID infection rate than any other state in the Midwest. Last June the 11th, Governor Pritzker stopped the mask mandate because the death rate in Illinois from COVID was down to 1,700 a week. But now when he's stopping the mandate again, the death rate in Illinois is over 2,500 a week, proving it was never about saving lives at all. It was always about the power and the control. Because if J.B. Pritzker really was interested in science and data at all, he'd be on a diet like all the rest of us are. The science never changed. The data never changed. The only thing that changed was the poll numbers for the 2022 election. It's not about the science, it's not about the data, it's only about the politics, and it always has been. So of course, now after this judge's ruling, parents all over the state of Illinois are finally coming out of the woodwork and speaking up at school board meetings. Where were they 2 years ago? And parents are doing this all over the country, showing up at school board meetings loaded for bear. The video you see on the screen is a mom named Mary Ann Jensen, who showed up at a school board meeting, Prince William County, Virginia, just this past week. This is part of what she said.
Mary Ann Jensen.
My name is Mary Ann Jensen, and my address is on file. I know there are many educators who want to protect children. This goal is not different from my own. Our implementation preferences may differ, but we want the same thing, to get through COVID without harm. Unfortunately, politics leads us to believe there is only one solution, masks. Yet thousands of schools around the country have been open during the entire pandemic without masks and no corresponding rise in serious illness. There were not child coffins lined up, as some educators in this county suggested would be the case. In fact, things have been going pretty much as normal. Kids are getting sick despite wearing masks. We are forcing healthy children home for exposure despite them wearing masks. And we are segregating children by vaccination status and religious exemption status despite the wearing of masks. So I ask you, if masks work, why don't they? I'd now like to cover the facts. Not policy is determined by the White House, not CDC recommendations, which I remind you is still policy. Policy, I might add, that changes by the day without any basis in science at all. So here are the facts that are available to any one of you. Over the course of the pandemic, 49,000 children have died of all causes. 331 of those were COVID-related. Yet we have turned kids' lives upside down at school for what is essentially a non-risk. Let's put that risk into context. Last year, fewer kids died of COVID-19 than of heart disease, cancerous tumors, suicide, homicide, and drownings. Have the protocols, have the schools stopped serving hamburgers and french fries? Have we put up tinfoil on the ceilings to block power lines? Do we even address the growing incidences of suicide during the pandemic? No. We play politics with kids' faces by placing restrictive fabric over their noses and mouths that the CDC itself has said don't do anything, and it's for their safety. This is asinine. This is blatant political theater, and it needs to end.
You go, girl.
Finally, regarding that end, I need to point something out that has been bothering me. On November 15th of last year, I had the privilege of
freedom in this country, and gazillions of other parents need to do exactly the same thing all over America. But folks, I've got to tell you, as a pastor, as necessary as those protests are, I see all kinds of parents going to the wall to fight the left for their kids' rights and their kids' education. Where are all the parents willing to go to the wall to fight the devil for their kids' soul and their kids' salvation? Because the devil doesn't just want to mask your kids and put them in quarantine for 2 weeks. The devil wants to destroy your kids and put them in hell forever and ever. Parents, fight for your kids' soul. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14. Fight for your sons, fight for your daughters, fight for your families. The second thing we need to do in order to contend for our families, we need to lead them in the fight. Going on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to contend for our families. We not only need to realize they're under attack, we not only need to lead them in the fight, but third, we need to save them from judgment. And that's exactly what Abraham's trying to do with God here in verses 20 to 21. After lunch, God and the two angels start walking toward the city of Sodom. And Abraham starts walking along with them. The rabbi said, as far as a place called Kfar Barukah, where Abraham could see the Dead Sea and the city of Sodom through a ravine. And for the rest of Genesis chapter 18, he pleads with God to spare Sodom and Gomorrah to save Lot and his family. But when a wicked nation gets to the point of no return, no amount of godly people in the whole wide world can save it from judgment anymore. And yet, there's Abraham pleading with God to save his family from judgment. And I know there's some parents listening to this sermon right now. You're pleading with God right now to save your kids from judgment too. Because you did everything you were supposed to do to raise them. You taught them. You took them to church. You took them to Sunday school. You took them to VBS and youth group in Awana. And when they got older, they went all prodigal son on you and walked away from the faith, and now they are as lost as dirt in a snowstorm. Hall of Fame quarterback Tom Brady walked away from the Christian faith his dad, Tom Sr., raised him up with. And today Tom Brady's as pagan as a Zulu witch doctor. And you're scared to death your kids are going to go to hell. And deep down inside you feel like it's your fault because there had to have been something. There just had to have been something that you did wrong. But listen to me. Who said you did anything wrong? How many perfect parents do we have in this room today? None. If perfection was one of the requirements for parenthood, nobody would ever have any kids. Heaven's sakes, Abraham wasn't perfect. Abraham lied twice like a dog about his wife Sarah being his sister. And he knocked boots and made an Ishmael with his wife's maid named Hagar. Heaven's sakes, every single family in the book of Genesis is so screwed up. Dr. Phil would have had a field day. God knows you weren't perfect. And guess what? He gave you kids anyway. And God knows what you did for them was enough. And God doesn't want you to live in regret for one single second. Because when you stand before God, the only thing He is going to judge you on is whether or not you taught your kids the truth. God is not going to judge you on how your kids respond to it. Because that's what God is going to judge your kids for. Because as much as it breaks your heart, you cannot make that decision for your child to receive Christ as their Savior. Or stay with the Lord once they do make that decision. And I know there's some parents listening to me right now saying, but Kevin, my kid is off in the gay lifestyle. So was their kid. Little Richard was one of the early pioneers of rock and roll with songs like Tutti Frutti and Good Golly Miss Molly. He grew up Richard Penniman, the third of 12 children to parents who were really, really big in the Seventh-day Adventist church. And because little Richard just wasn't as rambunctious and energetic and macho as his brothers, he grew up liking to play with his sisters instead of his brothers. And his dad hated it so much, his dad would tie that little boy to a tree and whip him with a belt until that little boy would bleed all over. And of course, that just made little Richard shy away from guys even more. And all the while he was growing up, but he saw other guys who were more manly and more masculine like his brothers were. He got attracted to them. Of course, over time, he sexualizes the attraction. So for the rest of his life, he went back and forth between the Lord and gay relationships with men. Till 1984, when his mother died, little Richard promised his mom he would never walk away from Christ. So he came out with a gospel album called Lifetime Friend, talking about Jesus. And he started turning his concerts into mini revivals. And he'd preach the word and he'd call people to Christ. And little Richard did that up to the day he died in 2020. Parents, listen, you do not go to hell for struggling with homosexuality. Heaven's sakes, we're all going to go to heaven struggling with some kind of sin or another till the very moment the Lord takes us home. What gets you to hell is denying that homosexuality is a sin and never turning to the Lord. So as long as your kids have life and breath, you still have hope. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 16, stop your voice from crying and your eyes from tears. For your hard work will be rewarded and I will bring your children back from the land of the enemy. Parents, keep praying for your kids and save them from judgment. And don't look now because that judgment is coming. Because our society, folks, is sick and it's just getting sicker. This past week, actress Milana Weintraub, who plays Lily on all those AT&T commercials, said this, I had an abortion and I was so glad because I was able to exercise my human right to choose what was done with my body. And I celebrate it to this day because it allowed me to live my life unhindered by a child. Folks, the most obvious evil in the whole wide world is the murder of innocent unborn babies. And for somebody to claim that it's somehow a human right or something to be celebrated is absolutely demonic. And don't let them kid you, the number one killer in America last year was not COVID, it was abortion, like it is every year. And don't tell me that the blood of 67 million dead babies doesn't cry out to God from the ground louder than anything that ever happened at Sodom and Gomorrah. People, the judgment of God is coming, and I realize it's not popular, but it's true. Right now, the Satanic Temple is sponsoring after-school Satan clubs in major cities all over this country for elementary-age children. And for what purpose? To destroy Christianity in the minds of kids. And God help us people, what kind of parents in the world would send their kid to an after-school Satan club? Gomez and Morticia Adams? Judgment isn't just coming, it's already here. Lawmakers in 7 states right now are pushing for the legalization of what they call minor attraction. In other words, pedophilia. Legalizing the last taboo, sex with children. A professor from the University of New York named Stephen Kirshner said this, "There's a strong evolutionary case for adult child sex. Adult male sex with a 12-year-old girl is not in fact wrong if the child is a willing participant. And saying it's in any way wrong would be a mistake. And if you're not sure if something's right or wrong, the thumb on the scale should always go to sexual liberty. So it's not obvious why sex with even a 1-year-old would be wrong either." People, this is absolute madness. This is what happens when a nation abandons God and His Word. Sodom and Gomorrah is not just at the Dead Sea 4,000 years ago. Sodom and Gomorrah is right here in the United States times 10. And the Bible says that judgment is coming, just like it came for Sodom and Gomorrah. The great sin of Sodom was homosexuality because Lot had 2 virgin daughters. And when the angels get to Lot's house, the men of the city of Sodom practically break the doors down to get at him. Not at the girls, at the angels. Because they had the hots for them. Genesis chapter 19, verse 5. And the men of Sodom never learned the warning. Never heeded God's warning. Because back in Genesis chapter 14, the king of Sodom kidnapped Lot and his family. And Abraham came along and rescued Lot and his family. And gave the Sodomites a whooping. And they never turned to God because of it. God's judgment always, 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 always comes suddenly. But it never, ever, ever, ever comes without all kinds of warnings first. Telling people to repent and to get right with God. God warns and He begs and He pleads. And if people don't repent, God judges. And then it's too late. And don't think for a second that because God's judgment hasn't fallen yet, it ain't coming. Because judgment denied is not judgment denied. And the only chance you have of escaping it, 2,000 years ago in the greatest act of love and mercy the world has ever known, God the Father poured out the worst wrath and judgment of all time on His Son Jesus Christ on the cross. Because Jesus was bearing the sin of the whole world. And He did that so we wouldn't have to. So by simple faith in Jesus Christ and the cross, you can be spared that judgment yourself. Amen. So come a day you stand before God on judgment, your sin is either going to be on Jesus or it's going to be on you. So you choose now whether or not you're going to be spared then. Because just as sure as you're sitting there, judgment is coming. Just like it was for them. The Bible says after the angels left Abraham, they went to Sodom and got Lot to lead his family out of Dodge before God's judgment fell. And the Lord rained down burning fire and sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah and all the cities of the plain and overthrew those cities and all the people and all the vegetation. But Lot's wife looked back and became a pillar of salt. Genesis chapter 19, verses 24 to 26. The judgment of God. And you know what really curls your hair? Archaeology today confirms every single thing the Bible said there is absolutely true. The cities of the plain were 5 wicked Canaanite cities located at the southern end of the Dead Sea during what was called the Bronze Age about 4,000 years ago. And 15 years ago, archaeologists started digging them all up. And this one right here, the ruins referred to as Tel al-Hamam, was actually the city of Sodom. 15 times bigger than the city of Jerusalem. 5 times bigger than the city of Jericho with a population of over 500,000 people. When the archaeologists started digging, they found all kinds of things that had been totally destroyed. But things that could not have been destroyed by a war or a battle or an earthquake. Because the devastation was beyond belief. Bone fragments of human beings and animals, none any bigger than a dime, that had just been blasted all over the place. Grains of sand that have been instantly turned into what's called shock quartz by a mind-blowing force of 725,000 pounds per square inch. Chunks of wood and plaster that had been turned instantly into diamonds. All kinds of metal and pottery that had been instantly melted into goo. And traces of iridium that has a melting point of 4,435 degrees. Destruction that takes your breath away. And the only thing scientists could figure out that could have caused that much damage one night 4,000 years ago, an asteroid the size of a Walmart, traveling at 61,000 miles per hour, exploded 2 miles above the Dead Sea with the force of 1,000 Hiroshima bombs, blowing people and plants and animals, every living thing, into smithereens. Instantly. Just like that. And jacking up temperatures to over 4,000 degrees and melting everything that wasn't organic. And the force of the shock waves on the whole Jordan Valley caused tidal waves in the Dead Sea that shot salt all over the place so no vegetation would grow for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Archaeologists said this, "The evidence we dug up doesn't lie. It was a force of such unimaginable destruction, it boggles the mind, and was by far one of the most devastating asteroid impacts that Earth has ever experienced. The humans there would have been blinded by the searing bright light for just a thousandth of a second, but then the impact of the explosion would have just blasted them to pieces. Utter destruction. And the damage was so severe, today, 4,000 years later, the soil there still has so much sulfur in it, bugs can't even walk on it because it's still that toxic. And the rocks there still have so much brimstone in them. If you held up a match to a rock, you could literally set the rocks on fire. And there's still so much salt content there. There's no vegetation. And the whole area looks as barren as the dark side of the moon. 4,000 years later. And of course, everybody and his brother today wants to deny that the story of Sodom and Gomorrah in the Bible ever happened. You know why they want to deny that it happened? Because they want to deny why it happened. Because they want to deny that there is a God in heaven who holds people accountable, and if people don't repent, He's going to judge. Because people, that did happen. That really happened. God really, really did that. One night, 4,000 years ago, God rained down holy hell and obliterated 500,000 people just like that where they stood. And melted everything that wasn't organic all around it. And completely fried that region for generations to come. And today, 4,000 years later, you can still smell the smoke. Because what God says He will do, He will do. And when it comes to judgment, God does not mess around. Because He can be one rough old boy when He needs to be. And do you know why God destroyed the city of Sodom and Gomorrah like that? As a lasting reminder to every single person, to every generation after, all the way down to you and me today, that God judged sin once before, and you can bet your life He'll do it again. Because the Bible says in the last days, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, the elements are going to be laid bare, and the earth and everything in it is going to be burned up by fire. And anybody who is not trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior, who's not trusting the blood of Jesus Christ to take their sins away, is going to be cast into the fire and brimstone of hell forever and ever. Because that's exactly what the Bible says. And even though God loves those people, He will do it. Just like He did to the people of Sodom in a heartbeat. Because He's not only a God of love, He's also a God of justice. Amen. So if you're sitting in this church today and you're thinking about crying out to God for the salvation of your soul, listen to me. You better hurry. Amen. Because Luke chapter 17, Jesus said His coming again and the judgment He is bringing with Him is going to come suddenly, just like that, just like it did on those two wicked cities. Do you know what? Time to give your heart to Jesus Christ. It's time to take your family by the hand and lead them out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and don't look back. Luke 17:32, Jesus said, "Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Take them by the hand, lead them out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and don't look back. And come to Christ." Folks, next to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the most precious thing to us in the whole wide world are our families. Our parents, our kids, brothers, sisters, cousins, nieces, nephews, grandparents. And they're even more precious to the Lord. And right now, our families are under attack, the likes of which we have never seen before in our lifetime. The devil has unleashed holy hell and is trying 7 ways from Sunday to destroy your family. So I'm going to ask you this morning to take your family by the hand, whatever family you have here with you. Take them by the hand and bring them up to the front of this church. We are going to stand here today in the shadow of the cross, in the presence of the Lord, and we're going to cry out to God for your family. A church is no stronger than the families in it. Everybody here, would you take whatever family members you have, bring them up the front of this church. Let's fill this whole area, down the middle aisle, down both side aisles. Everybody here. If you're here today and your spouse is not here, I want you to come by yourself. If you're here today and your children are not here, you still come. You say, Kevin, I don't even know where my kids are. That's okay. God does. You bring them up here in your mind and your heart and in your spirit. Everybody up here. We're going to do some spiritual warfare today. If you're a single person, you can still come. If you get stuck in line at the back, that's fine. You can stay where you're at. If you're a single person, you still have nieces and nephews. You still have parents. You still have brothers and sisters. Everybody can fill into the front. We've got prayer warriors up here. Sick and tired of the devil taking out families at Fox River. I'm sick and tired of doing counseling sessions. It ends today. There's young people up here right now. There's some things in your life right now you need to surrender while you're up here and don't take back to your seat. There's young people here. It's eating disorders. It's porn on your phone. You're doing all kinds of things that your parents don't know about today. You surrender those to the Lord. You give them to Jesus Christ. By the power of the cross, He can set you free and you can leave here today. There's husbands and wives here. You've got dirt in your relationship. Maybe it's porn. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Today, that gets healed right here. Right here in the front of this church. We are going to stand here today and declare to the world and to the devil and every demon power in hell, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's people in this church right now, your family's been an absolute mess for generations. That can change today by you making a commitment to Jesus Christ for the very first time. Your family can take a brand new direction today if you come to Christ. Do it. Do it. If you're here today and you need special prayers for your family, if you need healing, if you need to pray to receive Christ as your Savior, you stay afterwards. We've got plenty of people here who will pray with you to lead you to the Lord. We're going to pray. There's parents up here. You've got children in the gay lifestyle. God today wants to lead them and bring them back from the land of the enemy. People are going to get set free today. Relationships are going to be healed today. There's going to be reconciliation in marriages today because the Lord told me to do this. And He said the power of the Holy Spirit was going to be here today. It's time. It's time to get serious about our families. Time to get serious about our families for these last days. Hang on to your seats. Hang on to your hats because it's going to get rougher. Today we're going to leave knowing our families are strong. And our families are strong in the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray for every single person up here. Every single child, every single grandparent, every single mom and dad. Lord, they are crying out to You today on behalf of their family. Lord, You've given them a responsibility that You never intended them to do without You, without the power of Your Holy Spirit. I pray Your Holy Spirit would just be poured out on these families that are represented here. God, I pray young people would surrender the things in their lives that don't belong. Married people, Lord, in marriage relationships, we just surrender to You everything that's wrong. I pray for healing in those relationships. There would be forgiveness. Couples would bury the hatchet by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, when the world is at its worst, Your church needs to be at its best. I pray, Lord, that for Your Holy Spirit to fall. And Lord, there would be healing. There would be surrender today. I pray for parents who do have children in the gay lifestyle. Lord, You would bring them back. You would bring them back from the land of the enemy as they continue to pray and cry out to You. Parents, Lord, who have given up on their children, I pray that they would say one more prayer. Try one more phone call, one more text. And I pray, Lord, You'd be operating on the other end of the line. Grandparents who are sick about how their children are raising their grandkids. Just ask, Lord, they continue to be a strong influence on them. And God, I pray You just get out of our lives every single thing that is stopping us from being the families that You have called us to be. Lord, we cry out to You in Your presence. Ask that You would just move by the power of Your Holy Spirit. Make our families strong. Keep the devil away. Protect us from the evil one. That these homes represented by these folks would be centered on Christ. There'd be a new way of doing things. Just thank You, Lord, for the power that You have. Thank You for the calling on our lives to use our families as witnesses to a world that's dying lost and going to hell. Pray, Lord, that we would not lose one. Not one person up here today. Not one young person up here today would be lost. All these things we ask in Your name and thank You. Amen.